Hi.
Hello.
What's up, everybody? Hi, I'm James.
Yeah. I'm Molly.
Yeah, otherwise known as Molly and Jim Boy.
Yes, T-Y-M. not the regular Jim. He's not every Jim.
Right.
It's a special Jim.
It's important to make that distinction.
Yes.
Otherwise, yeah. we'll get nowhere in life.
exactly.
So, I mean, we're just going to talk. We got like an hour ish and we'll just like talk about whatever. Yes. I'll cut up what I need to. I don't know if this needs to be mentioned at all, but obviously this isn't my first podcasting endeavor.
No.
We tried it before. then some crazy stuff happened in life, not the least of which is moving all the way to New York City. What an absolutely dreadful day we've decided to record. I don't know what the weather's like in Atlanta, but it's like it's cloudy,
it's not raining.
It's a muggy day outside. I didn't even notice it was raining until I went to close the windowsills, and I was like,
disgusting.
Oh wow.
Absolutely, yeah. Disgusting.
See, like I have a nice view right now, like in the daytime, right? Like it's sunny, right. I can see like Columbus Circle, but like today it's just like you can just see like the smoke rising from the like buildings. It's pretty much like pollution everywhere.
Gross.
Love this city, it's great.
I was about to say the city that never sleeps. That's Seattle, right? Or is that
New York?
This
is the city. This is New York. Just never call it the Big Apple or you'll get absolutely shit on. I said that to in like one of my work channels, and they just like completely tore me apart. I was like, oh got my new office in the Big Apple, or got my new apartment in the Big Apple, and they were like, they were like, the apartment looks great, but like you lose like 20 Big Apple or Big Apple. Yeah, I just you lose like 20 New Yorker points for calling it the Big Apple. It's like the Big Apple here is like our Hotlanta in Atlanta, right? Like nobody calls it Hotlanta.
I call it Hotlanta.
You are incorrect. Just get out of town.
It's, you know why I call it Hotlanta? Because I actually low key despise Atlanta. You know,
really?
Why? I like Georgia for the most part, but I don't like Atlanta. If you have to, like, you know you're going to spend money. If you want to just hang out with your friends in Atlanta, you know you're going to spend at least $20 because you got to find somewhere to park. And, yeah, I mean.
Are you really talking to the New York guy about money and price of things in Atlanta? Really?
Oh, no. I'm getting used to being in the suburbs, and it's nice to be able to park somewhere and be like, oh, how much is this going to cost me? And also the parking spaces are like three times too small. So
I get it. Yeah. The bougie life chose you. It's all right.
It did. maybe I chose it a little bit, but you know, I don't know. No. I just got sick of being in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. I like Atlanta. I miss it every now and again. New York is fine. It was a pipe dream. I never even thought that I would be like living here in this city, and here I am. But it takes some getting used to. There's definitely some things you gotta like not being able to do my own laundry kind of sucks, the big one. I mean, like, it's fine. The laundry lady is like super nice, but I have to like pay for it. I have to pay to do laundry.
Wait, which is a weird laundry lady?
Like across the street. I have to like go across the street and do laundry. There's like a drop off and pick up like laundry place. I could go down like two blocks and do like, you know, coin laundry
and you accuse me of being bougie.
Well, here's the thing, I can afford it, so like I'm going to, right? Like I'm not going to walk two blocks down the street and sit there for like an hour and a half to do laundry.
Yeah, it's, why would you? Why should you?
Exactly. It's not like it's expensive, but like it's more than I would pay to just buy, you know, Tide Pods or whatever, obviously.
Right.
But it's fine. She's nice. And I don't have to think about it. Like, I get to, like, I'm doing it on a weekend, so, like, maybe I could have gone down to the laundromat, but, like, during a weekday, I can just, like, drop it off in the morning and then come back after work, and it's, you know, nicely folded for me.
Yeah, that is convenient. That is
it's nice. It's nice.
My mom did that when she lived in Atlanta. That's the only way, basically, she did. She didn't know how to do laundry. She always dropped it off. Same with my dad. I mean, they're living that city life, and
city life. But city slickers is what we are.
Speaking of not really cities, well, I guess, like, because the show I've been watching has been centered around two major cities now, New York and LA.
And yeah, absolutely. I know what you're getting at.
Bro, what have you been watching?
Let's talk about this show that has come out on Netflix. Yes. Actually, how long has it been on Netflix? Because season 2 just came out. Has it been on Netflix for a while? You know, and we're all just now discovering it for the first time?
So Lifetime actually produced the first season.
Oh.
Yeah, and they didn't get a second season. So Netflix picked it up and made a second season. So I don't know exactly when it came out. But I guess it didn't appeal to a lot of Lifetime viewers. I don't know. The only time I watch Lifetime is if I want to really watch a cheesy, slightly white privileged Christmas movie.
Sure. And this pretty much falls right into the pocket of exactly that. So I'm surprised that Lifetime viewers didn't like this show.
Yeah. Well, it is a phenomenon right now. Like, it's all over the socials about
it is.
The main character, Joe. Also, this podcast is going to be filled with spoiler alerts. So if you have not seen You, stop what you're doing, go watch it, get completely skeeved out, and then join us again.
Yeah, okay. Please. because we have no filter. I'm not going to do like a little ding or anything before spoilers.
You've been warned. We're going in right now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you just finished season 1 or like in season 2 now?
Yeah, I just finished the second episode of season 2.
I'm already like halfway through season 2, just not gonna
Shut
lie. I've been like binging it.
Okay, well, you're gonna have to show me special treatment and not spoil
I know. No, I won't. We're, for the most part, let's focus in on just like season one.
Yes.
Which is totally fine
because this is where you're getting to know the characters and everything, and poor Gwen. Oh my God. Poor Beck. I even wrote like little things down that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk. Well, first of all, I know, but tell everyone, what do you think about the show? Let's hear it.
Okay. So it's really good. Obviously it's really well done. I think, just the storytelling and everything and the perspective that they give you. And at first, you may, especially if you've been in a possessive relationship, you might be like, this is kind of insulting, you know, or why are they giving this man a platform?
Right.
But it really does, as the show goes on, you're like, you're beginning to see, like, oh, this guy's like, he's actually crazy. But you also can see, like, the pathology that took him to where he is now. Like, mentally, the outside pressure is what caused him to be this way. Because, you know, no one grows up in a vacuum, but also where he needs to take accountability for the things he's done. It's really good. And you do flip-flop, like, between feeling sorry for him and empathizing with him and then being like, whoa, dude, why'd you have to do that? Like, I was rooting for you for a second.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, exactly right.
Which is like the pull that the show has, and on Instagram especially, I see these women, like, you know, they're thirsty for Joe, and you're like, that doesn't make any sense, but it does in the way that he, like, in one episode, he's literally like killing someone, and then this girl that he likes is like texting him, and he's like, okay, well, I can stop by before I go burn this body to see her. Like, he was making her a priority, and girls are like, my man will only text back. So that part I kind of understand, like, yeah, okay, but he was like actually murdering someone, so you know, yeah, right. He's making you a priority, but he's still a sociopath. For sure.
Did we? So I don't know if we like explicitly have said for those who, well, you shouldn't be listening this far if you haven't watched the show, but right. I don't know if we've like said like what the show is like.
Oh yeah.
So
it's yeah. You go ahead.
Yeah. I just pulled up the synopsis on mm-hmm. Wikipedia, and it says, "You is an American psychological thriller television series developed by Greg Berlanti and Sarah Gamble and produced by blah, 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 blah." The first season is based on the 2014 novel by Carolyn Kepnes, then follows Joel Goldberg, a New York bookstore manager and serial killer who falls in love with a customer named Guinevere Beck and quickly develops into an extreme, toxic, and delusional obsession. The first season, which was released in 2018, stars Penn Badgley. Yeah. I'm so bad with names.
He played in Gossip Girl.
And Elizabeth Lail, and others. The second season, joined new cast members, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. There you go. It was a horrible reading of this synopsis.
Well, basically, but it's just someone. It's basically about a stalker. And, you know, a lot of stalkers, it turns into murder because they just can't hold, you know, they can't handle their obsession. And they'll do anything to get to that person. Right. So he ends up being a serial killer.
I kept giving pause while reading the synopsis because mm-hmm. A couple of things I did not know were made apparent to me, and it sort of changes the way that people that I've been talking with people about this and like the way people have been talking to me about it. So first of all, like when I tell people that I'm watching you, there's two camps, right? There's people who have never seen it and like hate it like already.
Right.
And then there's people who watch it and love it. There's no like people who watch it and hate it, at least that I know. And same. There's no people who like haven't watched it and are interested, you know. And the comment that I get all the time, and by the way, none of what I'm about to say excuses, like there is like blatant misogyny and like it's a misogynistic
process,
kind
yes.
of like, you know, that's the story. Yeah. And people who haven't seen it are always like I'm like, oh, I'm watching you, and they're like, isn't that a like that super misogynistic show? And me as a guy, I have to like sort of backpedal a bit and be like, mm-hmm. well, you know, yeah, but like still it's a good show.
But it exposes like that, I think, especially for a lot of women, they don't see that, you know, that passion as something that's misogynistic. They see it as something that's like, you know, oh, he really cares about me. And it, I mean, like you saw Gwen. Gwen wasn't a dumb person.
Right.
You know, she was a very intelligent woman and she was a writer, and she still fell for those things that he did. And the mindset, and what really stuck out to me was like close to the end before she dies, rest in peace. he says, after all I've done for you, you know, to her. And that's like a big, that's like such a red flag when they try to bring up the things that they've done for you, which I mean, mm-hmm. granted, yeah, but she didn't ask him to do that.
No. There's no owing of anything. And I can,
right.
And like the thing, as a person, as a boy who once was, you know, every guy I think goes through that phase where mm-hmm. they're like, oh, this girl owes me because I'm nice to them and blah, blah, blah. And this shows, you know, an extreme example of someone who never grew out of that and like pushes it. But like, clearly, just so it's said, we don't condone or agree with the actions of one Joe Goldberg in the show.
No.
However, they do play around much like, I don't know if you've seen the show, Molly, but literally halfway through watching you, I was like, this is like Dexter. This is literally exactly like Dexter and how it was like framed.
It did remind me of Dexter in a lot of ways.
Like right down to like him monologuing in his brain. Like,
right.
It's
yeah.
like straight out of.
I watched like the first season of Dexter.
And where, but the parallel isn't, you know, it's not the same show. Mm-hmm. Dexter was like a serial killer who, like, well, that was his MO. Joe was just like an obsessive person who, like, happens right. to kill people.
He just, he never like, came out with the intent of killing someone, but if it's yeah. something he had to do, he would do it.
And you can tell too, each time he ends up killing someone, he's like retches and like throws yeah. up. He doesn't enjoy it. It's not like something he's like,
right.
You know, and, it's just, well, it's a means to,
and he you know, usually, because he doesn't plan it, he usually is a little bit messy about it.
Right. Yeah. Where Dexter got away with it for like years. You know, Joe almost.
Dexter.
Yeah. Joe almost immediately sees the repercussions because he's not careful. And he acts impulsively. And
the jar of urine, man. I was like, bro.
So we can talk. We were talking about the whole of season one.
Yeah.
The jar of urine pretty much amounted to nothing, though. Like he got away with it. Like they didn't really.
Well, because. You know, and this happens a lot in investigations. You have, if he's not like, if he's never committed a crime and been arrested, they're not going to have his DNA. And if he doesn't allow them like to search his home or give him a swab, they can't do anything else. I mean, that's right. like real life. That's how it goes.
Right.
That's why sometimes serial killers will, you know, you'll have the guy and you can't get anything out of him.
Right.
So the only other thing that would work is like, you know, a confession, but he ain't gonna confess. He feels like he did what he had to do because Peach was so controlling, which I mean, uh-huh. okay, Peach was
okay.
Crazy.
Yeah. Peach was a little like,
yeah,
you know, and it's so before we like get into like the nuance or like specifics of the show, mm-hmm. I wanted to backpedal to like the Dexter comparison for a second.
Oh yeah.
Because Dexter, like in Dexter, it's the same kind of like concept as in You, right? Like they right. show you something that is like clearly morally
okay.
like yeah. wrong, like ethically wrong in every way. And yet the show aims to frame it in a way where you're like, wow, am I feeling a little empathy for this
yep.
person and what's going on?
Yeah.
And it grays that, like it blurs that line a little bit, right?
I think what's key too in both series that you, even if you're totally disgusted by what that person's done, is the connection that they make to children. Because if you right. remember, the woman uh-huh. that Dexter liked, well, quote unquote liked, he didn't have like a true connection with her for a long time, but
right, yeah.
he loved her children.
That's
like,
right.
And he wanted to protect them. And the same with Joe. Joe loved
Paco. Yeah.
And that was the thing that kept on like, he'd do something and be like, bro, like, you're so skeevy. But then he was so protective over Paco and he just like, he wanted to do anything for Paco. And I was just like,
yes. And as I'm sure we're going to get into it as we talk about it a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
it that's exactly the show aims. Is it excusable? Do you give him a pass? Because like, does one good deed outweigh or erase another bad deed?
To a certain extent, it may. But also, so like when he kills the boyfriend of his neighbor.
Oh yeah.
The neighbor,
Ron?
Like Ron, he,
yeah.
I was like, okay, obviously murder isn't good, but it was almost like a vigilante type justice. And you could also try and excuse it away with saying like, he was literally, he said to Paco, like right before Joe killed him, like, I'm going to kill you to Paco.
Right.
Like, and so you're protecting a child. It's unfortunate that the child that was present when it happened. But
yeah.
again, I don't think he set out and was like, I'm going to kill Ron. He's just like, I want to protect Paco.
Right.
Just like he wants to protect Gwen and he wants to protect this new girl, too.
The thing that I love about, I'm going to say, I love that Joe killed Ron. The thing that I love about that
yeah.
is because it's for me, and you could disagree, it's mm-hmm. the only murder that happens that I'm like, yeah, that guy deserved to die. You
yeah.
know, like
yeah.
all of the other ones, I was like, well, you know, I mean, did they really need to die? But
they
Ron, like, deserved to die.
Like, and this, didn't and the, need to die.
And the thing that's, no. And the thing that's like, the show ramps that up, right? Like,
right.
like Benji definitely didn't need to die. And then
right.
it ramps up, you know, Peach, and you're like, okay, well, but like, you know, and then like Ron, and you're like, yeah. Okay, so it like ramps it up to that moment, and then right. you're like, wait, am I excusing this one? Why yeah. did I excuse this one and not the others? And why like, not? You know,
why didn't I excuse Peach and Benji?
Peach, I was on the line. I was like, right. Does Peach?
It does. You're right. It does, you know? Ramp up because like, but then you had to go back and be like, wait. And this is something that happens when you are in a relationship like this, where crazy, insane things become normal. Just like right. if they keep on happening, you're like, well, and you're comparing your midline for normalcy is like completely skewed. So you're comparing it to like, well, at least he didn't do XYZ. And yeah, he killed Peach, but he shouldn't have even been there in the first place.
Right, right. It's true. It's like, true.
You know, she tried to kill him because he was on her property. Right. And she was like, and obviously, like, you know, she had every right to if she wanted to, because he was trespassing, and you can right. shoot someone on site if they're trespassing. But at the same time, you're like, you don't want Peach in the picture either, because she's also like kind of crazy too.
Yeah, right.
And so like, you're trying to choose like, which evil do you want? And you're like, because you have Joe's perspective, you're like, well, he really loves her. I know, like, you think at that point, like, oh, he wouldn't kill Gwen. He's going to protect her. And,
right.
but it's not about Gwen anymore. Right. The minute that he formed a bond with this woman, it became about expectations. So
right.
She wasn't Gwen anymore. She was this exactly. person he had built up in his mind. And this is how it always goes. And this is where
yes.
there are like kernels of like absolute truth in this show when it comes to abusive and possessive relationships, is that she was on this pedestal and the only thing that she could do was fail. There was yes. no way she was going to live up to what he wanted. And I'm saying this from like personal experience.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And in the minute that you do fail, instead of being like, well, you shouldn't have had me on that pedestal, it's, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You do everything for me, and this is what I do.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, it's a story that's been told like before, right? Like, and there, and I don't even necessarily know if you is the best telling of this sort of like weird obsession over a girl and like mm-hmm. idolizing her and putting her on a pedestal. I don't know if you necessarily tells the story the best way, but it's still pretty good. Like
I think it does a pretty good job.
And it's crossing that narrative, like this whole like obsessive boy, like whatever narrative,
right?
With, you know, like how far would you go for like someone you love, right? Like, and right. what is acceptable and excusable,
right?
And that's exactly what he tells to Paco, like when he kills right. Ron, right? Like he's like, sometimes we do bad things for the people we love. And is, you know, and then it begs the question again to the audience, like, is he right?
And the thing
that's crazy, the weird, like the great writing of that show, like the crazy dissonance, because if you've mm-hmm. watched the show up to that point, the dissonance that's happening in your brain as the watcher, yes. like before, like when Benji died and Peach died, you might have been like, okay, that didn't need to happen.
Right.
And he speaks this truth to Paco. Sometimes we do bad things to the people we love after doing something that arguably most people would be like, yeah, okay, something needed to happen here.
You know? I would kill someone to protect a child.
maybe don't go on record on the podcast and say you would kill someone. But I think it's something that I think most people can sympathize with.
Right.
And like, contrasting Dexter again, like Dexter, that show starts out with like clearly the first person Dexter kills is like a horrible person.
Evil
they deserve
person.
To die,
right?
And then later on in the series in Dexter, he like will slip up and kill somebody who we find out later is innocent, and then you're like, whoa,
right?
Whereas this show does the exact opposite, like from the get-go,
starts with someone who really
was somebody
need
who
to die,
did not
and
deserve
then
to die.
So like, oh well, maybe, and then it was like, oh yeah, definitely, like
yes,
I sympathize yeah. with this. And also, you know, you're correlated with Dexter. When I was watching you, I correlated it with with a lot of teen romance movies kind of yes. have this trope of this guy that's like, from the moment I saw you, I was in love with you type thing, you know, and especially it really made me think about 50 Shades of Grey, which if you haven't watched it, don't. And Twilight, which also yeah. if you haven't watched it, actually do, because now it's part of like who we are as right. a generation.
You know, but you know those are related, right, Molly? You know that totally 50 Shades are. was literally a Twilight fan fiction.
Twilight.
It was literally online, like the first version of 50 Shades of Grey was online as a Twilight fan fiction.
Oh,
and
I'm,
then
I'm not
yeah.
surprised.
And then they picked it up. So like that's real. Like, and then they picked it up and they changed the names, and that's how 50 Shades of Grey happened. Like,
so this is real. Yeah. This is why and so this is where I'm like, okay, Joe's creepy for being stalky, you know, like for stalking her and fantasizing about her after just meeting her. But what's the difference between in the beginning? What's the difference right. between Joe and what's his face? Mr. Grey.
Yeah.
Christian
yeah.
Grey. He had yeah. money. And guess what?
Yeah.
If Gray did not have money and he was doing the things that he was doing, Anastasia, I think that was her name, would have been like, I'm calling the police.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean,
it's the same. But then women find that sexy. And I'm like, I don't personally.
Right.
I'm not a big, I don't know. I mean, I like Twilight just because it's mainly cringy and it's hilarious now.
you read Twilight back in middle school because you liked it. Oh, you didn't?
No, in even... middle school, I was reading Jane Austen.
Oh, well, whatever. You're just weird. Even I read the first Twilight in middle school.
I think because...
Maybe something I shouldn't admit, but like I read the first Twilight book.
I think everyone did. It was just because yeah. that everyone had. I had a friend that was like obsessed with the books, and she was giving me like a step by step summary of the book before I even read it. I was like, well, I don't want to read it now because you're telling right. me all about it. And that's literally what happened, because I considered reading it, but then I was like, and I just lost interest. And then I think the series I picked up that was like, you know, I guess teen novels or whatever was The Hunger Games. And right. so that's what I read. Yeah.
I had like such a big aversion to Hunger Games.
You did.
It was because I was building into I hated like the hipster, like, no, I was a hipster. I was like,
everyone's reading that.
Yeah. Everyone's reading this. So I'm not going to pretty much kind of thing.
But you read Twilight.
but I read Twilight. Well, that was middle school, right? Like middle school is all about assimilation. You
it
like want to be part of it. High school, you're like, I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing. Exactly.
I'm gonna be different. Yeah. And so, well, I made this correlation with it when I was watching it. I was like, well, you know, because I'm watching it, Tim's watching it with me. Tim is my boyfriend, if no one knows, my baby daddy. Anyway, so we're watching it, and he was just like, how can this girl, like, not see some of these red flags? And one, Joe's actually pretty good at lying. And two...
Yeah, that's a big part of it, for sure.
Well, two, she doesn't... It goes both ways in terms of, like I said earlier, the expectations. She wants him to be this person. She wants him to be this Prince Charming and the good guy. And so that's what he is. He's like, that's what you want. That's what I'm going to be. And so she decides not to see those red flags because she's like, oh, but he might really be this dream come true. And it's just not realistic. Real people aren't like that. They're not going to deliver like that time and time again. Like everyone, I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want a Benji in your life, but you also don't want a Joe because that's very sus. No one's going to be Prince Charming every day, you know? And
it's true.
And because true. When someone is that obsessed with you, It usually is a red flag. I mean, I like I said, my first relationship, you know, when you're a teenager though, you're obsessed with each other and everything. And so it was toxic because of it. Like because And when I ended the relationship, one of the things he said to me was, after all I've done for you.
And that's, yeah. And that sucks.
Right. And you feel guilty, but then you're like, wait a second. I didn't ask you to do that.
We have a great, like, because we literally have both sides of it here. Like, I used to be that boy who, like,
used
who
to
was like,
romanticize, I was like, the minute you met a woman.
Exactly. And thank God. I mean, I was probably later than most people, just to be like completely transparent.
Yeah.
In realizing that that's not good. But you know, it's something that, like, it makes sense when you're growing up, right? Like, you're right. Like, oh, I'm doing like these nice things. I'm giving, like, surely this is like a test of like whatever. And it does like paint a picture of the culture that we grew up in.
Yeah,
you know, watching, like, especially like for boys, for men, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, you got to be like a hero, and you got to be like whatever, and like selfless, and like whatever. And like, you see, like, even down to like Disney movies, right? Like, you see Hercules and like obsess over this girl, and like, and you, yeah, so you grow up and are like, well, I mean, that's what Hercules does.
Right.
Doesn't excuse those actions. Like, I'm not giving myself a pass or anything. Like,
no,
it's, but
it, I mean,
it's an explanation for these kinds of things, right?
Right. If I may, because I do know you pretty well. I think that's also like that type of personality makes a really great artist, which is
which sucks. it's another thing, because it's not just like you. I think like the brooding artist is something that people, like, artists obsess over, right? Like, it goes all the way back to Beethoven, you know. Like,
absolutely,
is this brooding, like, pained artist.
And Beethoven would, I mean, some of his best works were made for women that did not like him back, and he was like,
true.
What the heck, man?
you want to talk about, I mean, we all know Symphony Fantastique, Berlioz.
Yes.
That symphony was literally written for a woman, like, unrequited love, mm-hmm. and like the I don't know if you know that symphony that well, but like, literally he writes in like witches, like laughing, like he writes in about his nightmare about like this woman that he loves, like, laughing at him, and like his head rolling down a like thing. It's like crazy. And then he invites her to the premiere of this, you know, symphony, and of course she doesn't show up. And he's like, and he writes about how he's gonna kill himself, and then he never does. And like, it's a whole like crazy.
Do you think that
story.
Maybe, and you can totally cut this out if it makes you uncomfortable.
That's fine. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Do you think that maybe that was the name of it? It was the last piece of Mutare.
Triple A.
Oh my god, I was like.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
You invited
yes.
the woman that you made it
I
for.
I did. I did. Well, to be fair, I invited everybody that I wrote each piece for.
Yeah.
But you're right. And here's the
crazy
thing.
But that one was
thing.
Particularly pointed.
Here's the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. I wrote AAA before I ever even knew what Symphony Fantastique was. Like, I did.
Oh.
And I learned that story later, and I literally like sunk in my seat in class. I was like, oh my god, I did that. I did this thing.
Because when you said he invited her, that's when I was like, oh, you mean like AAA? Of course she didn't.
No, yeah,
come.
It's exactly.
She didn't
and I up. And it was the same shit too. Like, I wrote AAA. Like, you know, it was like, you know, there was like nightmare sections and like images of like whatever. And I did all of that before I ever even knew the Berlioz Symphony. And then
what got me the most was this like very pointed like diss that just very much like, well, you diss me, I diss you kind of thing. Like, you know
right.
what. F you know, I don't need you anyway.
It was a horrible, like, looking, like, I remember my headspace at the time I was writing it. This could be a whole nother podcast. Like,
we could
do a whole different episode dissecting AAA. But like, I remember my head to tie it back into you. I remember my headspace when I was writing that and thinking, this is right. Like, this is I'm just being like very like poignant and romantic, and like that's what this is. And now, with like years of space between,
you were just
you know
bitter.
When that was, I was What a horrible thing salty. To put some so it's a horrible thing to put someone through, because like I was sharing, you know, the progress of this piece with her the right. whole time, and
you
and
were
like, I was, and I told her no. I was like, and I know, right? And what a horrible thing. And like, if they ever listen to this, like, I'm so sorry.
What a
terrible thing.
But also,
but still,
like, but also
it wrote
like,
it. I produced a good piece of music.
I was about to say, like, I should write her a thank you note, because that's like, that was when I was like, okay, James Dinsmore is really like, you're becoming your own artist. And so, and I loved, AAA is still one of my favorites, like, period.
Thank you.
It's very like, you just don't hear something like that every day. And so, right. I mean, maybe the origins are a little bit messed up, but like, it's thoroughly sure. enjoyable. And you don't have to have that mindset to relate to AAA at all.
No.
It could be more like a, you know, what's that song from Lily Allen about breaking up? F you.
Oh,
know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
A little bit more playful, not as
well. And like I wrote it. Like we're unveiling sort of like this hidden meaning of the piece that I don't think I've ever revealed ever, except to you.
Ooh,
and like a couple
oh, no.
people. No, it's fine. I don't okay. mind it. Like, you're, again, years have passed, and if I decide that I want to cut this out, then I will. But I wrote the piece as like. To have like different meanings for people. Like for me, that's what it meant. But like it was meant to like sort of have its own sort of like lore or whatever. It's not the right word, but like
I get what you're saying. Yeah. And I mean, despite your reasons, I think that it became its own thing, like outside of you and what was happening in your life.
Right.
And you know, I don't know, like it really like it had an impact in a way I don't think that you were expecting.
No,
it, you know, I mean, people, it was fun to play. And I mean, if especially if you're in band, like that's a fun right. song to play.
Right. Okay. We're selling my music now. But,
yeah, we are.
But another. Anyway, we can seriously like I would love more than anything to go into like music and like, you know, my thoughts. We can do that on
guys. Tune in. And how many weeks when we do this again? And we gotta talk about James's music and we gotta throw something in to make it really juicy.
What
I did when I found out I got pregnant. There we go. Fine.
Oh my God.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I mean, if you want to, I was just going to offer like hidden tales of the backstories of these pieces that I literally have never told anybody
Ooh,
except for you
good.
And a couple of people,
yeah.
you know, like this that we sort of unveiled about AAA, but like,
yeah. Oh, I'm all for that, because like
no, but that's really okay. We can use your
I don't have to give up secrets. I want to hear those backstories, boy.
Yeah. We'll do this later. But yeah, tune in for whenever the next one is. But anyway, back to you. So again, like it's a weird thing, like watching you and mm-hmm. like realizing that I once had that mindset, right? Like it's a thing that like. It's a little embarrassing for me to like watch because like I mean I've never killed anyone, but like
right
but like yeah I mean obviously but still I don't know it's interesting to get your take on it
yeah,
too like to see the other side of it,
because you know I have so many things to say about possessive relationships as you already
right.
know
yes.
but my question is because I've never known someone to have this personality and then grow out of it, mm-hmm. which I find interesting. But I actually saw you growing out of it. What made you like change that mindset? Like, what was it? Was there anything pivotal, or was it just like over time where you were just like
the only thing that changes people? Mm-hmm. And this we're going to start waxing philosophy now, but the only thing for me that changes people ever is like a horrible travesty or a tragedy. That's the only thing. And we don't have to get too much into it now, but you know, like I went through some really awful shit a couple years ago, and it really like sort of changed my mindset.
So that was a pivotal point for you.
It took that, you know, because I needed to focus on me, and I never did. Like it was like I lived my life for other people, right? Like I did everything for others.
Joe would say.
It's true, right? Like and that's why I'm saying, like I remember when I used to think that way, and you haven't gotten into season two yet. I'm not spoiling anything, but somebody says to somebody like, oh, you know, live life for yourself, and that's what's going to be like sexy to people. And like, it's true. And I didn't change to be sexy for people. I changed because I needed to like focus on me. And it's kind of good in a way, right? Like I think having the experience of living my life for others, going through this like horrible thing, and then also getting the experience of like living life for myself and finding this balance has turned me into a person that I'm pretty happy with these days. I
do think that when all that happened, you know, you're expecting, because you have done so much for other people, you're expecting other people to be there for you and like do what you would have done. But most people aren't like that.
Most people don't. Yeah.
And you're like, why am I wasting all this energy for people who wouldn't do the same for me? And instead of being you did go through a time where you were like big mad about it. Like it was a problem. Course. And that's when you're like, I need to put a mirror on myself and see, because like I can't control what these other people are doing. And I need to, I need to be happy for me, and I'm miserable. And so, I think that was the turning point. I love that, because like, bro, for a minute there, I was like really concerned. I was like, I don't know what's going on.
I wouldn't blame you.
I'm like, I don't know if our friendship is going to make it, because like he just be like slipping hardcore.
Right. I mean, you know, remnants of that obviously always stick around. Like, at their core, like there are certain things that just stick with people.
Yes.
Which is why, as we watch the story of you and and Joe and whatever, whether or not he is actually going to change is in question and up in the air, like at the end of season one. And you've seen the first one or two episodes of season two, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So you know, like he's like, at first I'm going like, to change, oh, and like things.
Changing.
Right. And then you get to the end of that first episode of season two and you're like, yep. Right. Exactly. And it's a great, they have to do that for dramatic like reasons. Otherwise they don't have a show.
Right.
But I mean, I believe that people can like change, and I mean,
I think it's less likely than you think it is. Like most.
I'm definitely like not. It's rarer than it should be.
Right.
Because of a couple things. Okay. Right. Like it's like, for a stigmatizing getting help, which is also something that I got.
Right.
B, I don't know what the B is. I just am rambling.
Well, B, I would say, is that it's almost like, so like when you're going through treatment for like, say, alcoholism, and they literally say that you have your brain is not, it's not normal at the time. Like you have addict brain. Your brain is literally like, I will try literally any reasoning method to get you to drink. And so, in your brain, in your mind, you really honestly think like, well, my life, I will feel better. My life will be better if I drink again, even though there's so much evidence to prove that it hasn't. And I think with him, he's like, well, I can't just not have love in my life. It's not going to be good if I don't have love in my life. And he goes right back to his old addiction. It really is an addiction.
Here's the thing. First of all, just to separate myself from Joe a little bit more, I do think that Joe is probably a sociopath. He's probably like actually
He doesn't understand a sociopath. What real love is.
No, exactly. And I hope, I don't think that I am sociopath. I am a sociopath.
Sociopath.
Like I understand and feel remorse for like what has happened, and Joe doesn't.
Right.
So just to like, separate it a little bit. I don't know if Joe I don't know if it's a great thing to compare it to like an addiction, because it's like a problem. Like he has a, I mean, from my, where I stand, he has a problem.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That I don't know is like curable or helpable, you know?
I think that if he, and that's where you are, right? It would be, if he did seek help, it would still be very difficult. When people get to that point where they don't feel empathy, and that usually happens, that emotional break usually happens when they're a child, by like a mother or father figure, which you see a little bit into that with this Mooney guy, which I think that's where he started, you know, dissociating it, detaching his emotions. And so now when someone is a sociopath, or they call it I think it's antisocial disorder. That's
yeah,
like
antisocial personality disorder.
So yeah. When they have that, they can only mimic emotion. They can't actually, you know, and so when, especially in our society, if you are that way and you're like, well, I want love, if you're doing it based off like what you see in popular culture, like, yeah, it's going to be obsessive. It's going to be, you know, that's like you said, you got to be the hero. The guy has to be the hero. And so he's like, well, that's what love is. So that's what I'm going to do. And there is no like, when you don't have empathy, there is no like cap to what you'll do, because there's no midline of normalcy for you. You're just like, well, I have to do this, so I'm going to do it. With most people, they're like, that's insane. Like, I still have empathy for this person, even though maybe they're bad. Like with Peach, like, you know, she was crazy, but like, that's my lady's best friend. I'm going to put up with her because, you know, and hope that she doesn't move to Paris because she loves me. You know what I'm saying? Like, be a good boyfriend. She probably won't move because she's in love with you. She wants to build a life with you. Instead, you kill her best friend, which makes her even more detached because she's going through this emotional trauma.
Yes.
And so they don't, if you had empathy, you wouldn't do that, because like natural reasoning, like, well, what if this happened to me? How would I feel? Right. Which is what empathy is. He doesn't know. He's only imitating emotion. So that's you are true. Right. If he did go to therapy, he probably, and he did for a minute. He did. And you only learn ways to manipulate people more. People like that, usually they just pick up, they're like, oh, this is another way I can use people, what I learned in therapy, which he basically did.
Yeah, that's true.
So
going back to like something like at the very start of this.
Yeah.
So I said like people who haven't seen it, like, are like, isn't that like a very misogynistic show? And it is. It does have a lot of like misogynistic, like, I mean, the viewpoint of it is complete misogyny, right? Like, it's obsession over women and like and whatever. This doesn't like excuse that. It's not like, oh, but look, aha. No. I did not, and that's what I was saying like earlier when I was reading this Wikipedia thing. I did not realize that the book was written by a woman.
Yeah.
The novel was written by a woman who did this.
I actually don't mind shows like this, because it does show like the line of thinking, and where if you were just like a normal person, you might be like, oh, this is, he's completely harmless.
Right.
Like, he may have said that, but he didn't mean it. Or, you know, he just loves me so much, that's why he said that. And instead, it's showing like, this is where he's coming from. You are not safe. You're in a high risk relationship. And it is misogynistic. Like, he is a misogynist for sure. But he's also like a sociopath. Like, there's so many things.
Right.
She's not coming at it like, oh, he's a good person. He is. No,
and that's that's what I was gonna say too. Like, mind you, clearly I haven't read the book,
right?
And I'd be curious to see like the how the book frames everything, because clearly like the TV show is going to change some things and frame some things differently. Right. And I wonder how the book like frames, you know, Joe and like the Beck and everything,
right?
And I imagine, I mean, I'm just making just a gross assumption. This could be completely wrong, but I imagine it's more like a thriller and less like a manual for people to like live their lives by, you know?
I mean, I think I don't think it's a manual, really. I really do think that it's like, I don't know, like he is right. a person, and it's just showing, like I said, like it's like a pathology as well as like these are red flags. Like this is not love. These are red flags. This guy's crazy.
Right.
And also shows like how a smart, beautiful woman like Gwen can still fall for someone like this because, you know, and she says that in the letter that she writes or whatever,
yeah.
right before
yeah.
she dies. That
at the end. Yeah.
She's like, I brought this on myself in the
I
way
this on
that,
myself.
That I wanted yeah. Prince Charming. But in order to have Prince Charming, you have to have Blackbeard too, which is honestly true. Like you can't, and this is coming from someone in a very happy relationship. Like Tim's great. He's perfect. But if mm-hmm. he started doing some of the things and saying things like, you know, look at everything I've done to you. Like if you just stay with me, your life will be perfect type stuff like that. I'd be like, right. Are you going to kill me?
This is a total like side like bar. I mean, like it's tangential, but sidebar.
Yeah, yeah.
If you found out or Tim told you or whatever mm-hmm. that he had murdered someone
yes.
to be with you, like at this point, and you know, obviously you have a kid and like whatever.
Right.
So it's a little bit more complicated. But like, how would you react?
if he had told me that, I would try and stay very calm because obviously I'm like, this guy is literally insane. And then as soon
like
as
that, like really, like on a dime, you're like, oh, this guy's insane.
It literally.
Like no, all that you know about him is like out the window because like now you know he's murdered someone. To
yeah,
be with you.
Because this is the thing for me. Like that just means that he was really good at imitating Moshe this whole time. You murder is like so serious. And I know it's like a big part of like pop culture, like in terms of like, you know, true crime and these true crime documentaries and all that, but mm-hmm, it's still like
yeah.
very serious to kill another person.
Yes.
And like, yeah, in the past he may have beat up a couple people, but he was like, you know, hotshot 20-year-old that felt like he had something to prove, you know?
Right.
But if he told me that he killed someone to be with me, I would have been like, I would totally be like, oh, that's I appreciate that you love me so much, blah, blah, blah. As soon as he'd leave, I'd be like, I'm out of here. You're never seeing me again. I'm shaving my
right.
head. Like, I would be
wow.
so gone. Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think a bigger part of that is because I do have Enan, too. So
yeah.
I have to protect him.
Right. I mean, this is all true. I'm not trying to say, like, wow, that's so interesting. Why would you? No, clearly, like yeah, that's obviously what anyone would do.
Right.
But I just find it so fascinating how, like, that's the line for, like, everyone. Like, like most everyone is like, you murdered someone. Everything I know about you is you're dead to me.
You're dead
like,
to me.
Like,
maybe
does not
I'm
matter.
A little bit. Maybe I'm a little bit even worse than that because, like I said, not to like put anyone on the hot box, but one of my exes, guess who? You know, he was very he would use things against me. So if he
right.
did something for me, I was always like, it got to a point where I was like, no, I don't want you to do anything nice for me because I felt like the minute that we had a fight or something, he would. Throw it back in my face and make
right.
me feel bad. And instead of him saying sorry for bad behavior, it was me saying I'm sorry for his bad behavior. And it's sad
yeah.
because
yeah.
that's honestly like, I don't blame him fully because the way he was raised, his form of love was completely skewed. So,
right.
you know.
From my growth and from my standpoint, the way I always say it these days is mm-hmm. it does not excuse what happened, but just explains it.
Exactly.
You know, like you really don't have to like forgive someone like
no.
that for the, cause like they did horrible things, right? Like if somebody does something
yeah.
horrible, that's bad just because like their upbringing or like their history
mm-hmm.
or whatever, which is why like, you know, I'm backpedaling a little bit. Like I'm fascinated by like, oh, murder's like the line for, oh man, I'm like pausing because I like realizing this is a podcast. I'm gonna say this. So, like,
right.
And I can cut it out. Like there are it doesn't excuse anything. It's just like, oh, this might, this explains
a lot. Yeah. And I want the explanation. Like, right. I don't mind that, you know, something like, I'm like, okay, this bad thing happened, but like, I want to know why, because for me, at least, it's all about like protecting myself and like, what did the person not see? Mama? Say hello.
What's up, E?
We're on a podcast.
Wow. Like clockwork, Molly. You right? weren't wrong. You were like a, you were like an hour and
yep, it's almost dead an on. Hour in what? It's a podcast. Yeah, you don't know that.
We were talking for like 3 minutes before this started, so I think it's been like an hour, right on.
Yeah, I'm good, aren't I?
You are. I mean, you know your son.
I do.
You should.
Thank goodness.
Anyway, should like that could be like our like timer on every episode. Yeah, it's just like when he wakes up. It's like that's how we end all the episodes.
Yeah, I'm sitting in my closet and I could hear his little footsteps walking around the house. I'm like, oh, he's gonna find me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, this is great. This is a good first episode. We talked
it really
about a
was.
Lot. And I don't know how entertaining it was for people, but it's a good time, I think.
I think so.
And next time we can talk about maybe season two and like see where this goes. By the way, this isn't just like a you based podcast.
No.
It's just what we happen to be watching right now. But yeah, maybe next time we'll talk about
it. Next time I'm actually really interested in hearing the backstories of some of your best pieces. And
oh my goodness. Yeah. I wanted to hold off on that until like we had like an audience and like but whatever, it's fine. We'll talk about whatever.
Okay, then we'll maybe talk about this is a problem though, because I do have a child. It may take me a while to finish season two.
That's okay.
But
you're fine.
You know, if we don't talk about that, I still have like a lot of good topics like why is alcoholism treated like part of a comedy sketch for women? Anyway. So, you know, there's that. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have a big problem with it.
This podcast, I'm not putting a like, this is what we talk about or, you know, anything on it. We'll shoot the shit and we'll cut it up and make it nice for y'all to listen to.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun and good. I'm also not going to put out a like, this is coming out every week. We're going to shoot for like maybe twice a month or maybe once a month. At minimum. Ooh. And if more come out, then great.
It's a party either way.
Yeah, it is a party either way. But anyway, you've been listening to Untitled Podcast. I don't know what this is.
We don't have a name.
No, we don't have a name. Like we were thinking of like that's the tea, sis, but like is this tea? I don't know if this is tea. Maybe it is.
I mean I felt like I was feeling some pretty hot tea, but...
I mean I was saying some tea too.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe this podcast is called that's the tea, sis,
or you'll know the adventures of Molly and Jim Boy. That's like
the adventures. That's pretty good. I like that better. The yes. Adventures of Molly and Jim Boy is a pretty good name for this podcast.
Thank you.
You all will know because you'll be, you know, you can see it before we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been great. I've been Jim Boy. That's been
GYM.
Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah, with GYM, Jim Boy, because I never go to the gym, which is actually a lie now. I do now go to the gym.
I'm proud of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, which is like kind of crazy.
Gym, you know what I'm saying?
I'm actually like trying to get into like not just running, like I'm doing like arm stuff and like,
ooh,
you know, like, but you know, like lifting weights and shit, you know.
Good for you, man.
I know, right? Like I'm super new year, new me, new city, new year, new me.
Yeah.
Eating the same shit though. So we'll see how it what turns out. Anyway, okay, that's been it. You've been listening to Untitled Podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.